drugs like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one.
The investigators tell us it seems the suspect was going to pass them, then turned and fired.
Christine, Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations.
Arise to support the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump.
And I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it and had leverage over him.
Thanks for joining us. We're back with our good friend, former CIA operative John Ritchie, who did most of his work in Asia, but knows all things agency. John, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Todd.
So you sent me a video on the shooting, and you're the guy that I think can give some good insight as to what's happening behind the scenes there. We were talking beforehand about a lot of different issues, so I'm just going to let you explain some of this stuff. Go ahead.
Well, I the video I sent you, and what started this was I received this video, and the video is of a professional sniper, and what he's done is he's gone through and taken recordings and done the forensic work to try to tell you about each one of the audio profiles of these shots. And this is not counting those counter snipers that were behind Trump. This doesn't, none of these rounds that went off that he's measuring or that he did the audio profile on are those. So separate that. But what was interesting was I sent you this audio or this about the interview with this guy that did this forensic work. Mm-hmm. And then I saw it and I thought, man, I'm going to let this stew a little bit. I want to see more about it. But then I saw Senator Johnson. He was on Maria Bartiromo and he's talking about it. Now he's talking about the things this person was pulling out, the research that and the forensic work this guy had done. And one of the things he's saying is he's acknowledging there was more than one shooter, more than one gunshot, if you will, towards the president. And he's saying there were actually three audio captures of rounds that were fired, again, not the ones that the counter snipers behind Trump shot. So he turns around and he says, look, here's what he's done the measuring. He's done the line of sight. He's shown mm-hmm. photos and he's been able to say, hey, look, here's what we can see. And we know now there was 157 yards between the 20-year-old kid Cook and the stand where mm-hmm. President Trump's was speaking, about 157 yards. But then on top of that, there was another gunshot. He measured that audio frequency. He measured the sound on it, was able to say this one came from 200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from just a little, the azimuth was a little different from where the guy was laying on the roof and that other set of shots, the 200 yard shot came. So he's looking at this and trying to explain this and he draws it. He gives you the aerials and everything. You can look at it. You saw the mm-hmm. video. And then he's saying, but there's one that nobody's talking about. There was one from 800 yards away.
Yeah.
And he's saying that's a much longer shot. Well, when he shows you on the diagram, that shot came from that water tower is mm-hmm. 800 would make up that 800 yard shot. So he's saying, look, you can see the difference. You know, these, when you get the audio, you can measure the distance of these, but then also he shows if you had one from 200 yards and he measures it out, there's a window, an open window that was just off. Somebody looking out that window would have looked to their left and could have seen where the guy was sitting on the slope.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody had to be in that window. Now, He's saying that other set of shots came from there. So anyway, he was able to show where that 200-yard shot would have come from. The window was open. He's got photos of it the day of. He's got photos of where the kid was laying the day of. He's got photos. And now you've got these people coming out with video of a person on that water tower.
Yeah.
And not just one person or one video, multiple videos.
Where did those come from? Were they in the audience or in the crowd?
In the audience. You had these people out there filming this, and some of them were kind of looking around and they were going, whoa, and they could see somebody on top of the water tower. So they started video recording these.
That's really amazing. I bet they didn't expect that, right?
No way. And so now you're able to measure all these points, and you can see that what this guy was showing you, and what was even more interesting is he's done this forensic work before. He's a pro. But what he was showing was he's saying the first round didn't hit Trump. The first round went by Trump's ear. That's the one you see coming out of the back when somebody caught that photo. They were taking a photo of Trump this round. Trump heard it and started to reach up for it, and the second round caught his ear.
Really?
He's saying one of the ones from the 200 yard missed.
Wow.
And the second one came in and got his ear. Okay. Now, what was interesting about this is, so yesterday, now that all this video and this guy with the forensic work's coming out and doing this, yesterday there's a video out and the Secret Service is running and they're going, yeah, and we had this, there was this perch up here and it's the window.
Mm-hmm.
And they're claiming that they had a counter sniper group in there.
Hmm.
But this guy's saying one of those rounds came from that window that went to the state. So, and you know, and I know that a lot of this is science. I mean, it's just measurement. It's whether it's audio, whether it's distance, and there's not a lot of play with this.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was able to show by where the window is and where the kid was laying over here, you'd have two different angles that shot went through.
It's quite fascinating that Trump didn't get hit. I mean,
absolutely. As many as went through there, he had one fling by his head, missed him. And then the guy in the frenzy, he says, now watch, here's the one that goes through and he's marking it and showing you. And here's when he reaches up, because he thinks, what was that? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So you see him start. And then all of a sudden he goes, oh, like that, and goes and gets down, because he's saying that it wasn't the first shot that got his ear. It was the second one.
Wow.
And so, but one of the things he's saying about that 800 yard shot from that water tower, and this was kind of interesting to me, is he says that shot didn't go down to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying there were two shots that came off that tower. There were two 800 meter or yard measurements.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying they came down towards the building.
So do you think they killed the kid or the sniper from the roof?
Yeah. And you have a woman that was looking at this. She's a medical person looking at this and talking about this in a rear view. And they were saying, what's this burn mark? He had a burn mark on his neck. And she's trying to explain that, look, a lot of times when rounds are hot, sometimes when they hit you, they leave big burn marks when they go in. Because that's not an unusual thing to happen, especially if it was a long distance. But what she was saying is that shot wouldn't have been able to come from those counter snipers from the wrong angle. So she's saying it's coming off from the left. So this guy's hypothesis is that guy was there to make sure that
the kid didn't
go anywhere.
What about the stuff where there's no, you know, blood spray or brain matter or anything? Have you looked into that at all?
She commented on that, the same woman, and she said, yeah, there'd still been, especially if they caught him in the head. Now, they're saying that counter sniper's round went in and came out.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying there's another one that it looks like an entry point as well. And that wasn't from that angle.
And so he flew a drone over the thing, too. Did you see that?
Yeah. They're saying he went in and you know what?
I wonder if it was him. It could have been somebody else.
Yeah, it could have been anybody flying that drone.
Yeah,
it didn't have to be him doing it.
And he had a rangefinder,
had two phones.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're talking about all this encryption and encrypted accounts and stuff he had on his phone, which none of this, I'm sorry, if it's coming from the government, you got to kind of scratch your head a little bit. Like,
they can get into anything they want to.
Yeah. The idea that these guys had, so we're having problems getting into these phones, nonsense. They can get into those phones anytime they want.
And then there was the cell phone information that showed people from the Secret Service office near his house coming to his house. Am I correct about that?
Yeah.
Or at least a device was going back and forth.
Well, they have somebody that was showing up at his house and his work from the DC area. I was reading the phone data because I saw the people that did it. And there's several people that have now done this. They've gone and bought the, because all you got to do is say, look, I want to look at how many phones were in the DC area and were at this kid's phone. I mean, 20 years old, probably should be zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they've got somebody that a phone address that was in DC at a office space near the FBI. It was there, has been there multiple times, looks like he works there, and has been at the kid's work and has been at the kid's home before the shooting. So, you know, these are things that, you know, they don't want you to talk about. They want you to worry about this director lady and how incompetent she was. And it's, you know.
Yeah, that's just nonsense. Just a show.
Yeah, yeah, just that's theater. All noise. And now... the thing is that one of the things I've said all along is that kid had to have a handler, had to be somebody, had to get him the logistics, tell him what roof to go to, where to climb up. The weapon was already out there. He wasn't toting a weapon around out there in near a Secret Service, you know, security bubble. That's all nonsense. And the thing of it is that he, you know, he had to have a handler. Everything's on those phones and in his digital holdings. It's got to be. And then on top of that, friends, family, they know what he was doing. They've seen him with these people. This wouldn't be hard to peel apart. The FBI acting like, "Hey, we got an ongoing investigation." It'd take you 2 weeks to figure this all out after you got all the digital and all the, you know, after you got all of the, you know, the data off his phones and off his laptops, everything. Wouldn't take any time. And the thing of it is, that's what they're doing now, but they're doing it outside of the FBI. All these citizen journalists are all just saying, look, I can purchase that stuff. I can do this. And now that's what we're saying. So now, not only that, Jim Jordan mentioned on Maria's last Sunday, he said they've seen the reports that a man out there in a gray suit climbed up onto the roof while the local authorities were there, handed him a card, said, when you're through with those photos, send those here. And it was an ATF domain.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the guy leaves and now nobody can find the guy and the ATF domain's gone black. So
Revolver came out with, and I didn't read the whole thing, but with some type to the J6 operation and the pipe bomb that was placed. Yep. I think it may be the same guy I don't know.
I saw an interview with Beatty on this and it's pretty, he's got some pretty compelling stuff. Like he's done the work on, especially on that whole pipe bomber and Kamala being at the DNC and all that stuff. He's pulled that thing apart really fast. So I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, could this be the same guy? You know, these are the same people. I mean, you know, doing this stuff.
So, you know, we've talked about this before, but we obviously have a problem, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the government. So, or whatever you want to call this regime. You know, what do we do about it? You know, if Trump doesn't get in, we're screwed. But if he does get in, what do we do?
I predicated that on whether he gets in. But if he does get in, I know I hear people say, look, this is, this is worthy of a church, this kind of review and redoing of the system of the intel system. But I just don't see any need for this level of this massive federal, you know, security and intelligence state. I don't see any need for it. This is something our government could get so much of this through the private sectors, through the states and having consortiums there that come together and create their own fusion centers and things that feed intel into the government. This government doesn't have any need for that. You know who needs it? If the military goes to war, they need it. You know, do our diplomats and security around the world? Yes, they need it. But that should come. Look, you look at New York. New York put police officers overseas. I was in Jordan and there was one there with us in the embassy, mm-hmm. a New York intelligence officer. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that this needs to come down to the lower. These guys in D.C. do not need to be running this on us. And the longer we do, they're just going to get bigger and more massive. And the only thing they're going to do is come after us.
Exactly.
You know,
it's already happened.
Yeah. They've got, you know, they were already told, you know, when I was in the agency, everything we did was outward looking, mm-hmm. pointed outward. We didn't aim anything at anybody internally. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if anybody came across, if I had an American come across anything, any operation I was on, they were masked. Mm-hmm. And there were only two people that knew who that was. He was given an encryption and that was it. Now, I mean, you got guys from my old organization running around in here under DHS doing the same stuff. And this is nuts. I mean, it really is. And you saw it start right after 9/11 when they started these fusion centers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they bring in the guys from NR, you know, the agency guys that are domestic that were supposed to usually work in commercial stuff. And now look at them. They're working against, and they're doing it behind the FBI. Well, the FBI, you know, we're just here to support. Nonsense.
Wow.
Nah, it's got to be done. This has to be pulled apart.
Well, thank you very much. Anything else you want to get out on this issue?
That's it. I mean, this is an interesting time. That's for sure. I mean, we'll see what.
Well, we're going to stay on it. And thank you for being willing to come on often. Absolutely. So thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd.